Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. Today, we're going to talk about the South China Sea. A little bit about politics and a little bit about everything. We actually had a listener shoot us an email a little while back, I don't know, about a month ago on our take. And honestly, it's funny because I feel like as Americans, we don't know that much about what's going on in the South China Sea. You see little bits on the news, you know, we'll see, China flew 30 planes over there and, you know, they keep doing these flybys and different stuff, but nobody really understands it. And I feel like the news people don't really understand it is honestly what I feel like. Because doing research for this, I watched a lot of freaking YouTube videos of newscasts and stuff like that to kind of up my story here and find out what's really going on. And honestly, it doesn't sound like anybody knows what the hell's going on. And it's funny because the guy who emailed me, V8 there, said, you know, hey, there's nothing in the news here that I can really understand. In Europe, they're not really covering it. Could you tell me? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. It's funny, most of the news I got came out about Australia.
Right.
And some of it kind of made me laugh, and we'll get into that as we dig in here. But basically, Kevin, what's the deal with the South China Sea and Taiwan? First of all, the hell is Taiwan? Where is it? It's an island. It's in the South China Sea. Side of that, I don't know. All I know is when I grew up in the 80s, everything I bought said made in Taiwan. That's what I know. What do you got?
Well, that was called the Taiwan Miracle. Basically, the upping of production coming out of Taiwan made them a semi-wealthy country, you know, would be considered a first world nation. Now, Taiwan technically is the name of the island. The name of the country is the ROC, the Republic of China. So China, the ROC was founded by somebody that I think most of us recognize the name, Chiang Kai-shek. Now, he was the leader of the Republican forces in China during World War II against Japan. After World War II, there was a civil war between the communists and the Republicans. So they ended up, the communist, the PRC, the People's Republic of China, led by Mao Zedong, and the Republic of China, led by Chiang Kai-shek, were in a war. And they ended up losing ground continually until they retreated to the island of Taiwan. And they set up the government there in, 1949, Mao Zedong's forces captured Beijing. But the ROC was recognized by the UN as the government of China until about 1979. And then that's when the UN started recognizing the People's Republic of China as the government of mainland China. Now, let's see. Mainland China believes that Taiwan is still part of their country. Taiwan does not believe that, but nobody recognizes Taiwan as its own country because they're scared of China being angry at them. So, in 1996, China tested missiles off the coast of Taiwan to intimidate voters because they're having their first democratic presidential election. Now, it was a dictatorship for a long time. Then it became a republic where the parliament was voted in, but they still had basically a dictator. It was the son of Chiang Kai-shek that was the leader of the country. And he stepped down and had presidential elections. So China got pissed off about that and, had a bunch of quote unquote testing of missiles off their coast to scare people from actually going out and voting. In 2016, China suspended all communication with Taiwan after the Republic of China failed to acknowledge that there's only one China. So China has basically been bullying Taiwan into doing what they want, through intimidation and threats and shit like that. And it's been going on for a long time. So, I think that there is maybe a semblance that they could get back together and like work shit out. But once Taiwan saw what happened in Hong Kong, they realized that, China is a country it's just a habitual line step. You know what I mean? They're always fucking crossing the line. They're always, they're always agreeing to treaties and things like that. And then just saying, nah, fuck you,
Yeah, kind of like that asshole kid you knew, kind of growing up who, you're like, all right, well, here the parents draw the line. Here it is. You can't do that. Well, I did it and the world didn't end. So fuck you. I'm going to do it again.
Right.
And that's the thing. China is such a giant beast that it takes a lot to really do anything that's going to matter, intimidate them. Because don't care.
Yeah. And the real main problem is that China buys a lot of U.S. shit.
China buys a lot of shit and we buy a lot of cheap crap from China. And if Walmart didn't have all that cheap crap on the shelf, I hate to say it, if Tractor Supply didn't have all that cheap crap on the shelf, then, I'd buy a lot of things at Tractor Supply that are, made in China, and I cringe a little bit. But when you want the made in America version, I'm like, yeah, I can't afford that shit.
Yeah,
I'm not
Do you remember when was the assistant coach, was it the Hornets? The Charlotte Hornets? I'm not sure if that's accurate. But the assistant coach said something about supporting Hong Kong. But 70% of the NBA games that are watched on TV are watched in China. They really love the NBA and basketball. And God forbid the NBA lost any money. They shut that guy down real fucking fast because China was not happy with what he said. So, there's a lot of organizations
that are scared
to say anything. Right.
Marvel movies have their dialogue cut back to, that's a little too pro America. Let's not get crazy.
Do you remember Doctor Strange, the movie? In the movie, it's Tilda Swinton is the is the like person that teaches him the ways of the Eastern arts, a white lady. In the comic books, yep. It's a Buddhist monk, but Tibetans are not cool with China. China is not cool with Tibetans being recognized as being Tibetan. And so they changed that because they didn't want to piss off China by having a Tibetan in their movie.
Right. China has a hard time recognizing people as somebody who has rights, period. So, you know, it's a hard line. So basically, I mean, South China Sea is huge, right? It's 3.5 million square kilometers. So that's a big area. And how much of that is Taiwan? How big is Taiwan?
Taiwan is – oh, hold on one second. I moved my notebook here. So it's 13,976 square miles. Now, okay. Vermont is 9,600 square miles. So it's a little bit bigger than Vermont, the state of Vermont. You know, it's a good size island. And, there's – the population in Taiwan is 23.5 million people. So it's a good, it's a good size population. Their military is about 300,000 people strong, which is a large size military.
Very significant. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
That's about half of ours, but that's pretty impressive. It's more than half of our army, but half of our overall army.
Military forces. Right.
Right. That's impressive. And they have a ton of weapons. We've been buying and sending U.S. weapons to Taiwan for a long time.
And they have like a pretty significant high-tech forces. Actually, there's just been a new one approved by Biden. It has to be approved by Congress still. $750 million weapon sale, including self-propelled howitzers, which I'm not really sure what a self-propelled howitzer is. I'm not up to date on that. 1,700 kits to convert shells with GPS guidance to them,
nice.
Harpoon anti-ship missiles, and surveillance and recon sensors for
harpoons are pretty cool. What they are is you have on the back of the ship these usually, I'm trying to think, I think it's 8 giant tubes that have, if you think of it like a torpedo in it, they look like giant torpedo tubes. And it's either 4 facing one direction and another 4 facing the other. I'm pretty sure that's how I remember it. Might have been 2 and 2, but I think it's 4 and 4. And basically the way it works, you'll launch these torpedo-type missiles. They fly above the water, but really low, like between 6 and 10 feet, something like that, if I remember right. And then just as they approach their target, they'll drop down into the water and go below the surface so that way they can travel fast without resistance. And then they drop down and then they basically puncture the ship below the waterline and kind of, take things out. So they're pretty awesome anti-ship missile there. So they're something worth having. We try and take care of them. And basically, so like I said, South China Sea, pretty big. Pretty much up until 1930, China kind of considered the South China Sea theirs. And it was their thing. Thing is, South China Sea is full of oil, full of natural gas, full of fish. And basically, that's why everybody wants it. That and $3.37 trillion a year of cargo goes through the South China Sea. So it's kind of valuable real estate. The U.S. has kind of always had the posture that the seas are free and open to anybody. I know the UN had kind of decided that it's basically 25 miles off the coast of anywhere is their water. Right. After that, it's international waters. And we kind of try and, pretend that's the deal. China has been trying to expand, so they basically have made about 3,000 acres of islands, by either building up sandbars or expanding on islands or just overtaking little islands, about 3,000 acres, and they've turned them into military bases. So the idea is then you're expanding your reach, you know, if we have land there, then 25 miles, you know, we go out further and further, you know, so you keep building up and they try and, you know, try and do something there. China believes that all water and airspace in the South China Sea belongs to China. Now, the U.S. is determined to point out that that is not really the case. Around 2012, the Chinese and the Philippines started getting all pissed off at each other because the Philippines get tons of fish out of the South China Sea there. And basically, China was coming over and fishing it all and kind of taking everything and like, fuck you. And, you know, I don't know if it's international waters, it's international waters. But I think China was kind of, you know, anywhere, forget the 25 mile out kind of thing.
Yeah, what they're doing is intimidating private fishermen with military ships and, you know, kind of driving them out. Out of the, you know, international waters that belong to everybody. But China's, nah, you can't fish here. That's all our shit now.
Right. Then, you know, then, so basically around July 2020, the U.S. sent two carrier groups. Now, a full carrier group's pretty badass deal there. You're talking about an aircraft carrier, usually two submarines and nine surface ships will come out with a carrier group. And anyway, we sent two to basically patrol around the South China Sea because we felt like China was getting a little out of hand. And that's when things, I feel, really started to ramp up. Now, you can point out, like, you can prove me wrong 100 ways. It's kind of constantly new tensions in the China Sea, but this was one of the U.S. involvement kind of turning points of us kind of escalating and ramping it up.
Right.
China got pissed off. They sent out, you know, carrier groups, and they keep trying to do big military patrols around there, and it kind of has been escalating. Now China's been doing flybys with their planes over Taiwan. And then basically they've been upping the numbers. I don't know. First we saw there were like 12 planes flew by and then it was like 30 planes flew by. And they basically come at Taiwan like they're kind of coming in for attack just to kind of screw with people and like, hey, we're coming. You know, it's that same intimidation you were just talking about with shooting missiles off and, you know, that kind of thing during an election. It's let me show you that we're not scared. Well, the problem, and so it's funny because Australia's kind of taking a stand on this and they're starting to, you know, do all this stuff. So I was watching an Australian version of 60 Minutes. And it's funny because they were like, yeah, it's Australia's job to defend freedom and the individual. And I'm like, that's wait weird. A minute, what's happening in China right or in Australia right now? Because I'm like, you haven't even got your own country straight, and you guys want to freaking worry about China? I'm like, how about you worry about defending the individual in Australia? Let's start there. Mm-hmm. But hey, I digress. And, you know, they had a lot of, you know, talk about that. Now, here's where I find it all weird. What the idea is, yeah, we're offended, and yeah, we want to protect Taiwan. Yeah, we have a big interest. Tons of, like I said, $3.25 trillion $3.25 trillion worth of trade comes out of China. And I mean, out of that South China Sea and goes through there. That's huge. That matters so much. And we do kind of control, there's choke points coming out of the South China Sea that we do kind of control. And it's kind of, you know, good for America, but China's like, hey, you're not going to, you know, lock us down and they're not down for this. So bottom line, it keeps escalating. Tensions are rising. I don't see America really doing anything. And this is why I say it. We act tough. I think China may push us to the point where we have to act, but I think it's unlikely. China's basically, it's weird. China militarily is not a match for the U.S. is my take on it. Some of you may disagree with me. However, and this is where it gets tricky, China is willing to do bold things like make a first strike, do something devastating like an EMP, or do something dramatic, and America doesn't have the will or the balls, if you will, to do something like that. And if China acted first, and I think America's slow reaction, China can be a very serious, very real threat to us. And that's the thing with like a scared dog, you know, they lash out and you don't know what they're going to do, you know, and that's the predicament we find ourselves in with China. Now, China has been doing human rights violations for forever, right? And it's funny, they always turn it around and say, yeah, we're worried about America and their human rights violations. You know, they were worried about our cops beating up black guys and you know, all the different stuff. They get all ridiculous. But now, not that that's not a problem, but I'm just saying it's like, well,
it's a little bit different than genocide, though.
Yeah.
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 A little bit of a different situation.
Exactly. So what ended up happening is they have that whole Uyghur Muslim thing going on where they're putting them in camps. And it's funny, Pelosi even came out and was like, yeah, even with the genocide of the Uyghur Muslims, it's still more important that we focus on global warming and whatever. So the bottom line is we don't want trouble with China. Any kind of war or fighting with China is going to be a freaking disaster, and it's going to be millions of people are going to die. It's not going to be a fun, happy time. What I would say is we shouldn't necessarily be scared little children, though, and hide and be afraid to say anything. You know, when something's wrong, we should say that it's wrong. You know, you need to not be afraid to speak up and stand for what's right. And the more we cow down and let them, you know, have their way, the more we're going to get into trouble. The more we're going to, you know, let them bolster up their ego and kind of, you know, get braver and braver until they do something. And the bottom line is,
as long as intimidation tactics work, they're going to keep using them. And, you know, that's basically it's basically been working for the past 30 years. And so they're just going to keep doing it, keep expanding, keep threatening. And, you know, I mean, there's so long you can go and get pushed around before you don't have any space left to do anything that you want to do to make the right decision, you know. I feel that China is basically doing whatever the fuck they want to. And, you know, and don't get me wrong. I have no problem with the Chinese people. The Chinese people are suffering just as much as anybody else is. It's the Chinese government and the dictator that are, you know, basically imposing the rule over millions and millions of people. And there's nothing they can really do about it at this point.
Wait, but I did hear that communism's not that bad and it might actually work here. Maybe we should try it in America.
I keep hearing that same shit. I don't know why the fuck. I don't know why the fuck it hasn't worked any place, but suddenly they feel like it's going to work in the United States. That just blows my mind. But I mean, that's been an ongoing thing.
All right. Sorry, I can't help. I can't let that go by without making
a
little
I have to be
big.
Honest with you, Chuck. That shit gets me so fucking angry when I hear – because I know people that are socialists that believe that socialism would fix the problems in the United States. I know people that argue that point.
Right.
And it just
and
makes
like,
me so
well,
fucking irritated.
Right. Because you're like, well, you know socialism ends up leading to communism, right? And they're like, well, when has communism been bad? Why is that bad?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, stop.
Yeah. People, listen, people always get fucking like all fucking butthurt about, you know, quote unquote Nazis in the United States. What's so bad about fucking Nazis? What's so wrong with them? Oh, they committed genocide? Well, guess what, motherfucker? Guess what? They're fucking doing that shit in fucking China right now, and nobody's saying a goddamn thing about it. No, that's
not a
cool
thing.
As long that's as cool. socialists do it, it's okay.
Yeah. No, it's bad. It's just a freaking disaster. I mean, but basically that's kind of my take on this whole South China Sea thing is, bottom line, China's going to keep pushing. They're trying to do it a little bit diplomatically where it's slow and easy and just take a little more, kind of like Russia was trying to do under Trump, to be honest, you know, over there with the Ukraine, you know, where it's like, let's
kind of like Hitler
just be,
did before, you know, before
exactly.
Before
let's
the
just be an
out.
Annoying presence. And then by the time when we start doing something bad, they'll be like, well, they've already been there. I mean, they've been doing this for freaking years. So why are we going to do anything now? And you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, we'll go along with that. That's where you get into trouble. You know, it's slowly that nudge, nudge. I do think that if we show enough weakness, though, there's a slim chance. I mean, I would put it at 10% that China makes some kind of first strike against, I would say even against the U.S. I feel like maybe 5% against the U.S. and then maybe even as much as 20% against Taiwan.
Yeah, I think that wouldn't be crazy for them to do something like that.
Because you're trying to use, you know, people are trying to use their rational mind and say, well, China wouldn't do that because the world would be like, but remember, they keep pushing. I mean, they're doing genocide. You know, you're killing freaking all these Muslims. You're putting them in camps and nobody does anything. Nobody even says it's wrong to their face. That's a problem. You know, we don't want to offend them. We don't want to upset them. Okay. I mean, like Germany's cool with this. That's kind of, you know.
Yeah, it seems a little crazy to me.
Because they kind of made a big deal about, we'd never let this happen again. This is a big deal. And, you know.
Never again, right? That was the thing. Never again.
Unless, you know, I've said it before, unless it's hard. You know, that's the. And that's the thing. It is hard. And I'm not saying we should go, hey, let's start a war with China. Bad idea. Not what I want. Don't want any endless stuff, but I'm saying that we should start to, and the thing is, I mean, yeah, we should start to prepare ourselves to live without China, to not be as dependent on China. We should do things that make America great, if you will, right? Things that make us energy independent, things that make us where we can actually produce the products that America's consuming and needs. It's possible. We don't have to scare away all our business. We don't have to say, hey, the best way to keep American jobs here is to basically get all the other countries to agree that we charge shitty corporate tax rates instead of, hey, let's lower our corporate tax rates.
Right.
Let's just get everybody to have shitty corporate tax rates. Then people won't leave America. That's not how you stimulate business. We need to do things and create policies that are going to make America strong. And I understand we need to tax the shit out of Americans if we're spending, what is it, $3.5 trillion or $7 trillion, or I don't know what the fuck it is, whatever this new spending bill is. Obviously, taxing us isn't the problem. Spending might be a problem. Now, I understand that Biden's like, hey, you know, don't worry, it's not going to cost anybody anything to give away all this money. But then why are you raising my taxes? That doesn't make any sense. I feel like that's costing me. But I feel like if we didn't spend all this money, then we could lower everybody's corporate taxes and jobs would come back to America, right? And if we didn't give so much freaking free shit to people, maybe people would have to get off their ass and go to work. I'm just putting that out there.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm wrong. I see Kevin kind of cringe a
makes
little bit.
Makes sense to me. No, I'm not going to cringe at all about that shit.
All right.
I feel like I work half my life just to fucking pay taxes.
It's not
I'm a very anti-tax motherfucker. You're not going to get that from me, man.
Yeah, no, it's bad when I look at my paycheck and I see the real number and then what I get. And you're like, wait a minute, that doesn't add up. You know, that's why everybody's so hard on that direct deposit now, because then you don't even look at the pay stub or whatever. You know, you just look at the final number.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, that's the thing, though. It's like, you know, people talk about paying taxes, but you don't pay taxes. That money's gone before you even get your fucking check.
Right. They take it. And that's the thing. People are like, well, you know, when I look at my tax return at the end of the year, but your tax return doesn't have Medicare, Medicaid, FICA, all that shit, right? It doesn't have that on there. And we're not even going to talk about it. You're like, oh, well, you know, they take out $1,000 a month for freaking healthcare, or, you know, 700, you know, or maybe your employer pays half your healthcare and then they take $400 out of your healthcare, you know, out of your check a month for your family healthcare plan. All right. So what you guys aren't maybe grasping, and maybe you are, maybe everybody's just as mad as I am, but what you got to understand is that's a freaking tax. Because guess what? You're not using that much money in healthcare. That's a tax. That's because you're covering everybody else. They call it insurance, but what it is we take money from everybody, put it in a big pool, and then it turns out when we say we take it from everybody, we really take it from a third of you, and then we give it back and spread it evenly amongst everybody else. That's a tax.
Right.
When you're paying for the healthcare for 70% of the population, that's a tax. You know, we can call it different things and pretend. And when you realize how many times things are taxed before they actually get to you, like, so say I want to build a product, right? And I have to pay tax to get all my, you know, initial inventory. I put it together. I make something. I pay tax on that again. They pay tax on the raw materials. They pay tax. It adds up over and over again. And yeah, no, you're getting screwed. That's the bottom line. You're getting screwed and it's not going to be good. I would say get ready to embrace the suck, you know? I was talking to a guy here recently and he's telling me, yeah, and all the HVAC stuff's going up 12%. Heinz and Kraft just came out and said all their stuff's going up about 10%. You know, everywhere you go, everything's going up. We keep pretending there's no inflation. The spending $3.5 trillion. And then Biden's solution is, oh, look, the food people are just being greedy and they're charging too much. Those bastard food producers. We're going to go in and regulate them so they can't charge you that much. Yeah. Guess what happens when you regulate them and say, hey, you can't charge what it costs you to make that. What do? You say, fuck you. I'm not going to make that shit anymore. That's how that works. And then guess
that's
what? You end up with shortages. You end up with shortages. And you're like, wait, why is there no food now? This doesn't make any sense. And this is why we've been preaching. You guys need to start growing your own shit. You guys need to have your own livestock. You need to prepare. You need to have a little long-term food set aside. And like I said, long-term food doesn't need to be 25-year shelf life. It means you need to have your pantries extended out. So you have the stuff you're using for the next month that's not going to go bad in a month, you know, that's good for a year or whatever. You have the extra supplies. So that way, guess what? You're ahead of inflation. You're, you know, moving ahead in the game.
You guys buying now is buying on sale. Buying next month, exactly. You're paying full price.
And I mean, it's funny because I'm like, oh, I got to get all these things because I won't be able to, you know, to buy them anymore. You know, they're going to be gone and they're out of my price range. Shit is just going up and up and up. And it's crazy. We live in a wild world. I know you don't want to be preached at. You don't want me hearing it. But I feel like, you know, I think some of you listen to this show just because you can relate. You feel like, hey, nobody's talking about it and we're all pretending. And we're living in this world where we just pretend everything's okay and nobody's screaming it from the rooftops. And it's just kind of nice to know there's somebody else out there who's like, yeah, you're not crazy. It is falling apart, you know, and That's the thing. Everyone's like, well, if we'd only voted for Trump, well, that's kind of ridiculous. Bottom line is, we're going to spend $7 trillion under Obama, or we elect all, Biden, or we elect all Republicans and we spend $4 trillion. And guess what? We don't have any. We don't have any extra money. That's the bottom line. So $4 trillion or $7 trillion, I mean, I tell my kids, and maybe I already preached this at you, but I tell my kids, look, if I make $100,000 a year and I spend $3 million a year or $7 million a year, doesn't really fucking matter because both are way more than I'm ever going to be able to repay. You know, I'm fucked right. either way. So I'm kind of like, shit, the government ought to print, you know, $10 trillion. You may as well at least pay off everybody's mortgage or something cool, you know? And that only seems fair to me.
What are you going to do? The shit, you know, I don't even like talking about these topics because I get so fucking angry about it. But yeah, it is something that has to be discussed and talked about. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, things are getting more expensive. The grocery store is more expensive. Gas is more expensive. And, you know, we talk about prepping for disasters and apocalypse and all that sort of stuff. But this is prepping for real life. This is prepping for what's happening right now. So when we talk about prepping and we preach and we, you know, we get on soapboxes and yell about things like this, it's important. It's actually important because, you know, this is your family that you have to take care of and deal with these, you know, deal with these new situations that are happening every day. So now, what are you going to do?
Let me take your blood pressure down a notch, just a notch. All right. Now, do you know William Shatner? TJ Hooker.
I know who Captain Kirk is.
I believe he was on Star Trek.
Yep.
You know, all kinds of things. I never watched Star Trek. Not a fan. Sorry. I know I just lost like a third of our audience right there. But
I'm a big fan of the old Star Trek show.
Yeah.
The old, all right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I do love me some Shatner. Well, turns out he's the oldest man to ever go into space. With 90 years old, is that what we're talking
90
about?
90 years old, Shatner? Yeah.
I think he is. 90. Mm-hmm. And he just went up there in outer space. So that's pretty freaking awesome. You know, the world does have some cool positive things going on. Starlink coming, all kinds of good shit going on out there. Starlink, yeah, you know, is the internet for you homesteaders out in the middle of nowhere. You're hoping to get some internet that actually works. That'd be kind of cool. I'm not saying you need to be on Facebook or any of that kind of nonsense. I'm just saying you need to be able to download the Survival and Basic Badass podcast. That's all. That's important. So you guys may know that we have some pretty cool t-shirts and stuff available. Remember we had that whole don't give them a fucking inch thing going? You can get a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. You can let the government know that, hey, you know, maybe communism is wrong. Just saying, putting that out there. You can get those at preppingbadass.com. Might be worth a look. That's all I'm saying. You guys have any show topics, things you care about, you want to hear about, you want to learn about, or maybe you just want to tell us that we're wrong, how we offended you, because who knows what. Maybe, I don't know. Kevin, how are we offending people today? All over the place, right?
Because I think most people are offended because I said that.
Radio edit.
I didn't even recall you saying that, but
I just said it right now. So send your hate mail to preppingbadass@gmail.com.
It's an ugly world we live in. That's all I'm saying. And you can leave reviews about the racist podcast. I'd rather you didn't. Probably I don't need that kind of hate in my life. But, you know, whatever. Anyway, with that, stay safe. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
The Survival and Basic Badass Podcast is a proud member of the Self-Defense Radio Network.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight.
Zero hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space. On such a timeless flight. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Till touchdown brings me around again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. No, 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 no. I'm a rocket man. Rocket man. Burning out his fuse up here alone. I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Till touchdown brings me around again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. No, 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 no. I'm a rocket man. Rocket man. Burning out his fuse up here alone. Mars ain't the kind of place to raise your kids. In fact, it's cold as hell. And there's no one there to raise them, if you did. And all this science, I don't understand. It's just my job 5 days a week. A rocket man. Touchdown brings me around again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. No, 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 no. I'm a rocket man. Rocket man. Burning out his fuse up here alone. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me around again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. No, 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 no. I'm a rocket man. Rocket man. Burning out his fuse up here alone. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time.
In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Oh, that's awesome! Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
You're listening to the Waypoint Podcast Network, brought to you in part by HuntStand, the number one hunting and land management app.